Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everybody. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in the book of Acts. We have just tied Acts and all the Gospels together, and now we're going to continue on in the book of Acts. And so it's time to get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee. This is Gilbert in Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Dan from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Rachel from Vancouver, Washington.
And this song is
one that
about,
we like to sing.
Yeah, it's the one we're going to sing. I don't know where it's at. He's able.
He's able. I know he is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, he's able, I know he is able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He heals the brokenhearted and sets the captives free. He can make the lame to walk and cause the blind to see. He's able, he's able, I know he is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
We did Acts chapter 1, verses 13 to 14 before, but let's read that again because we never talked about it.
Acts 13 and 14, right? One.
Yeah.
And when they were come in, they went up into the upper chamber where they were abiding, both Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. These all with one accord continued steadfastly in prayer with the women and Miriam, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren.
They met with one accord. What do you think about that?
They also went back to where Jesus was teaching them.
The upper chamber, you're saying?
Oh, when they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet. Then, yes, in the upper chamber, too.
They were one accord. Mm. Anything else in there?
We didn't talk about 6 through 11. There's some interesting things in there.
What'd you see, Dan?
He tells them that they're asking him, well, we should read that. Can you read 6 through 11?
Sure. They therefore, having come together, ask him, saying, Lord, restorest thou at this time the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has set within his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come within you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost of the earth. And on saying these things, he was taken up, looking on, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly into the heaven as he went, lo, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Galilee men, why stand you looking into heaven? This Jesus who was received up from you into heaven shall so come in a like manner as you beheld him going into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey off.
This is the second time there's the two men in white. They were there at Jesus' resurrection when they went to at the tomb. We just read not too long ago at the end of John. And the two men in white stood beside them. That's what I noticed. I'd never seen that before.
Me neither. I was going to mention that. There it is. But he says you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come within you. Jesus said this, and you will be witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost of the earth. That's the last thing he said to them right there. And on saying those things, he was taken up and looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight.
They ask him, when is this time? When are you restoring? I'm reading out of the New American Standard. When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he answers them, it's not for you to know the time or epochs which the Father has fixed of his own authority. But he does tell them, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes.
So they were wanting the end result of everything. And he says, okay, pretty much. We're not there yet. We're here. We're at this point in time where you're going to receive the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what is going on right now, not the final end out here. And in fact, you still hear men talking about this today. They want to know when that's going to be.
They do.
They want to know when that's going to be. And what's here now is this Holy Spirit.
We're going to do 15 to 20?
Sure. And in these days, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren and said, and there was a crowd of names in the same place, about 120. Brethren, it was needful that the scripture should be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold through David's mouth concerning Judas, who became guide to them that took Jesus, because he was numbered among us and received his lot in this ministry. Now this man obtained a field with the reward of his iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the dwellers in Jerusalem, so that in their language that field was called Hekeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation become desolate, and let no one dwell therein. And his overseership shall another take. Of the men, therefore, that have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and went out among us, beginning from the baptism of John and to the day that he was received up from us, of these must one become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was named Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, who knowest the hearts of all men, show of these two the one whom thou hast chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas fell away, to go to his own place. And they gave them lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
Back to 12. They're back to the apostles.
The 12. Correct number now.
Yeah. And he had to have accompanied with them from a particular time. And it was, from the baptism of John.
So it was back, they had to have knowledge of all of that from that point on.
Matthew,
not just where Jesus was, but the baptism of John, they had to understand that so they could become part of the full picture of what was there.
That last context in Matthew chapter 3, where Jesus was baptized. That is an interesting thing, though, that it had to go back to that, Jesus' baptism, so they could give an account of Jesus, what he did, because this is all about walking in Jesus' footsteps. So
how do you walk in his footsteps if you don't
walk
do what
in
he
his
did?
Footsteps?
Exactly.
Didn't walk with him.
Yeah. You can't.
Yeah, they did not skip a beat. So it shows right there. This shows that they all equally, all 12, because you could wonder when they were called and what they saw and so on.
But it quantified it.
It quantified it, put them all there, and even the one that was picked later on.
And this guy, Matthias and Justus, were around the whole time.
Yeah.
They were around
yeah,
the whole
there's
time.
There's at least two there, yeah.
And they weren't named as one of the 12.
They might have been more.
Yeah, you don't know how many more, but these two, it says the lot fell to them. They were chosen out.
You know, another thing, too, that it says back in verses 15, that there was a crowd of names in the same, about 120. So you think it's just the 12, and this shows it actually, and I would assume some of those were women, maybe more women than men, because there were generally more women involved around Jesus.
You know, one time I was starting to count all that to see if I could get to 120, and you know, I found myself a dozen pretty easy. Then I needed more, so then I got 40, and then I had, you know, the 40 he sent out. Then I had 40 plus 12. Then I had 52. I was feeling good about that. And then I started counting them more and more. And the women, they threw some into it. And as it got on, I got up around 80. I was 40 short.
That's pretty good. I would have guessed about 60.
I kept just looking. I said, who are these people? Where are they? And it was pieces that you could get that could get more people into it. But yeah. And one, as we go along, if you look in the list up above it, when they mentioned and when they were come, they went up to the upper chamber. And here's the people. And it says, and with the women, so the women were there. And then it named one, and that just got me right there.
Well, there's hardly any women named there, or is there even one named there?
In verse 14.
Oh, there it is. Verse 14.
Yeah.
His mama.
That's with women in general, but they do name one, Miriam.
His mom.
And his brothers.
And his brothers. So you just go, really, his mom was in there. I mean, you figured he was, but there it dead on says it.
Yeah.
And they had one mind, and that just getting—
That one accord again.
120 yes. people with one accord is not an easy thing to do.
When I started writing that preface for the book, it's all about coming to one mind. That's where this group started, that we all joined in 1969 to 1970 because of the way that we were taught to study. It's a possibility. If you learn under this prof or you learn under that prof, you're going to have professor. You're going to have all different kinds of minds. But if you walk in Jesus' footprints and read the Bible and go back to the original Greek, you'll come to one mind.
Now, in this verse 15, it says really clear here that Peter stood up. He was the one that stood up and told this whole story about Judas. And he said, his overseership let another take. He said these things, and they did what Peter said to do. Peter was pushed. He was speaking. And then they came out. So Peter took over from the 15th verse to the 26th verse. I mean, he had this whole thing that this is now, it's back in order. So Peter he stood up right there. Now, the last time I looked at him, he wasn't standing up, but he stood up right here. Back to the point that you were making a few times ago when Jesus breathed on them and said that this is starting to show an indication of a different man. And I'm saying this to agree with what you said.
Well, an interesting thing happens in this that you will not see again ever, because this is the New Testament. And it will be solidified in this day of Pentecost coming up, and you will not see this thing again, because to find the one, they drew lots. You will not see that again, because when men are filled with the Holy Spirit, draw a lot. And people still do that today. It shows, if you draw a lot, it shows you're not being led by the Spirit of God. And this is the last instance of God's kids drawing a lot.
So Peter standing up is not Peter running and hiding. He was coming this way.
Right.
He had them draw lots. He's coming this way. And now, just what you said, that's not going to happen.
That's going to change in the day. That's going to be a big thing that's going to change on the day of Pentecost. You will not see one more lot drawn. Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
You were mentioning the one accord a while back, and it got me thinking. Sometimes we gather together and many of us, and everybody will be off doing whatever they do. But when we start a song, everybody is singing in harmony together like one.
It's a goal.
It's pretty amazing.
One voice.
One voice. Yeah.
Even though there are different notes, but it's always a chord, a blend of notes. And we're not talking about a Honda product.
Right, not Honda.
A chord, yeah.
But like a piano, you can hit a note, a single note, or you can hit several notes that all harmonize together, and it makes a beautiful chord. And that was it just made me think of that, because that's something we can relate to now about having one accord. There's a moment when we're singing that we all have one accord.
Yeah.
And it's pretty wonderful.
All the Bible is meant to be sung. And we haven't quite got there yet, but we sing more and more of it every year. 50 years we've been doing this, and there's more than 50 songs. So we're getting more than one song a year.
There's more songs than I can
remember.
There's so many. There's hundreds.
We were lucky when we started in 1969, 1970, if there were 50 songs. And we used to borrow some church songs, and some of those we had to just, as we grew and started reading the Bible, some of them did not fit at all. It didn't agree with the Bible. So we moved on and didn't make a big deal, but we were just going like, nah, that's not quite right.
And another thing about Peter here is that he's an untrained, unlearned person.
A fisherman.
A fisherman. And here he is, for it is written in the book of He's quoting the Psalms, and we need to do this, and we need to, because this was a prophecy. He's talking about all this. And I'm like,
it might have been one of the songs they were singing.
You don't know.
Do you imagine Jesus probably had a pretty good voice? But I'm not saying he was operatic or whatever, but he, like the Bible teacher that taught us, Ray, he always sang on key.
So what you're saying is that Peter learned this from Jesus.
Oh, he might have.
Well, I mean,
it could have been a song that Jesus taught him.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. I just was thinking about that.
Oh, wouldn't you like to know that tune?
Well,
not a very happy one.
His overseership led another take. I mean, what's a prophecy?
Some songs are serious and some are very light. And
not that it's unhappy, because the truth is always ends up being happy,
right?
But
all that had to happen.
Yeah, some are difficult, but it has to happen. The truth has to prevail. So what are we now? Are we in Acts chapter 2? Really? Wow.
Yes.
1-4 is the context.
And when the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled, all were together in the one. And suddenly a sound came from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And tongues as of fire being distributed appeared to them, and it sat within them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
You know, I found, we're reading out of the Panons, right? Andy, you got the Panons Bible right there.
Yeah.
I have found that Ivan Panon wasn't perfect, because I got to know him. And one thing, I've got almost all of his books, and I met his secretary, Jessie Bentley, who is quite a bit younger. She was very young when she went to work for him. But the one thing that's different than when we grew up is Ivan Panon was pretty much by himself. He did not have an equal. He did not have the 2x2. He had the 1x1. And he says, and it sat upon each of them, and it's the Greek word F, like effervescence.
I corrected it, sorry.
Yeah, and so we've gone through and corrected all these, and that is the 34th time that that is found in the Bible, this word. We decided to track it. And he doesn't always... Now, if you go back to this other place, Acts chapter 1, verse 22, and it talks about the overseership, let another take, of the men, therefore, that have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and went out among us. Now, he gets a little closer there with among us, not upon. And that word among is the word F. And then there's another time where he says upon, but you corrected it also, that when the Holy Spirit is come within us in Acts 1:8. He did not always use the same preposition. A preposition shows relationships. He went through a whole variety. I started tracking it the first few times that he used that word F. And if you look at all of them in the Bible, and it's used a lot, it's epi is upon, epidermis is
now,
upon.
I believe, and I've looked at this, and so I believe if you look at his Greek manuscript, he has it right.
Isn't that funny? Why would he do that?
Because he's not perfect.
Well, you can't follow a man, can you?
No.
So I've refrained
from... Because the Greek's down to the math, see?
Yeah.
The Greek letters are down to the math, and this is... Westcott and Hort could have done that.
We have a huge respect for Ivan. I'll just tell you, I think he is the absolute best translator of the scriptures, except for in this one, we've had to change it. He was distributed, but doesn't it make sense when the Holy Spirit was distributed within each of them versus... upon. It doesn't work. Upon doesn't work. That's the Greek word epi, epidermis, upon. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That all agrees with that and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance.
Yeah, filled is not upon.
Yeah, filled is not upon. If they were filled, they sat within each of them. Absolutely. So we've gone through individually and several of us have marked our Bibles and it's obviously within. I don't know why he did that. Other than that, it's just an amazing translation. So, other than that, he gave us an amazing book in many ways. Beautiful translations.
Now, when the day of Pentecost came, now the day of Pentecost, now Gil, say something about how that Pentecost, what that's about.
Well, when the day of Pentecost was fulfilled, that's what it says in here.
And that day is, tell how that day is measured.
All together as one. You were talking about
it. Well, I'm just trying to get you to talk about that a little bit because I don't know exactly how they got Pentecost. Where did that come from, the history of it?
Well, the 50th day is that feast that happened on the 50th day. After the death, after the New Testament started.
Right.
That is the marker. And then there were 3 days, so there is...
I was asking another thing. Where did that feast, was that there before?
Yes. The feast started with Moses.
Okay, you know, that's where I wanted to go to.
Well, there...
You see what I mean?
Okay. So, but let's look big pictures first. There are 3 convocations. And the convocations are the gathering when all of Israel would come to Jerusalem or come to the place specified by God and would all come together in one, just like it's saying here. They would be of one accord. They would come to one place. And this first holy convocation was in the month Abib on a certain day. And that's about March, April in our calendar. And it would happen on a certain day. And included in that convocation were 3 feasts. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Passover, and First Fruits. And the Passover lamb has to die, and the first fruits, think of that, you know, think of that, us bearing fruit as a result of it. And the unleavened bread is, that's what people take when they eat, you know, the communion. It's got to be unleavened bread, no leavening in it. And then 50 days, they would count 50 days after the Passover lamb is sacrificed.
50 days after the Passover, the death
is this time
feast,
yeah,
of Pentecost. Pentecost,
yes.
Okay.
But Pentecost is one feast in and of itself, very important. And then the next one after that is on the seventh month. So you just count days. It doesn't say a specific day. But in our calendar, you know, it's 50 days after between March and April. But anyway, when you get to the last one, again, it's a convocation that has three feasts. And the feast, the first one is the Feast of Trumpets. Jesus will come at the last trumpet. There's seven trumpets he talks about in Revelation. And then there's the Feast of Atonement, and then the last feast.
Okay. So this feast had been from the time of Moses, that 50 days after the Passover, this feast happened. So now Jesus dies on the Passover. And then Jesus in Acts chapter 1 says, okay, he died and he'd raised from the dead. That's 3 days. And then he says, in 40 days, he walked the earth. So that's 43 days. And then he told him to go to Jerusalem and tell you're sent with power from on high. And 43 and 7 is 50. And that's when it was sent. And that's why we've said this before in there. It's 50 days. And it was one week.
Exactly, yes.
It was 1 week they had to wait. And so that's just, I wanted to see the big, big picture of it. And you, thanks.
And seven, isn't it interesting? Seven comes about, and seven is the number of perfection or maturity.
Yeah.
It came to maturity.
In 7 days it happened. So they didn't have to wait that long.
No.
No.
And wait, tarry in Jerusalem until you are empowered endued with power from on high.
Yeah. Okay. That just makes it to 3 days.
Yeah.
He rose, then 40 more, go wait for this. And it happened on Pentecost, just so happens to match the what? Feast.
Right. And he was with them 40 days. He didn't leave them. He was with them and walked amongst them.
And there's other information about that we'll end up talking about. But 40 days, and people don't know. People just think that he died, and then he went up on the mountain, he left. But he was here 40 days.
Now, he didn't look like he did before, because Mary Magdalene thought he was what?
The gardener.
Gardener. Yeah. And Peter, they didn't. Not all of them knew who he was when he went there on the shore. Peter knew who it was. He jumps in there.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting how they were fishing during that one episode?
Yeah.
And then the two walking along the way, and it said our hearts were burning within us.
I don't think we've got to that yet.
Well, that was back in the net. We have got to it.
Yeah. Oh,
so
we
did. Talked
okay.
to it previously.
Yeah. I thought
that
was.
Yeah, these are those 40 right. days. We've talked about those 40 days.
The road to Emmaus. Yeah. And then he says, weren't our hearts burning within us? They didn't know what he looked like, but their hearts were burning within them.
Where the book of Acts really starts is about 7 days before Pentecost.
That's right.
And Jesus is...
And he's talking to him, yeah.
It shows a little snippet of that, but then it's really those last 7 days, and then kaboom, day of Pentecost. And we have run out of time. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again the next time. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com.
Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347. Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible.
Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."